to fear now, for I am safe with you. Oh, we've come to praise you, Lord. So in our fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh, God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I sing through the night. Oh, God, the battle belongs to you. Yeah. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible. Yes. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. Yes. When all I see is a cross, God, you see the entity.
You now.
children then. You hear your children now. You are the same.
Tell them, God.
You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same.
Oh, sing it.
You.
Do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to.
To be in your presence. We are thankful that you are the God. When we draw near, you draw near. And so God, we thank you that you are in our midst. You are in our building right now, God. And so Father, we just pray, God, on behalf of every single one of us, God, who needs a touch from God. We thank you that you will touch us today, Lord. God, we are thankful that you will provide. God, we are thankful that you will heal. We are thankful that you will meet us right where we are at. And so, God, we just ask that you would come and dwell in our midst today, God. Because, Lord, the one thing that we need is your presence. We need your presence. We need you. Father, help us not to depend on ourselves, but to depend on you. We are so thankful for the gift that you are. We ask that you would be with us and bless us in your name. Amen. Amen. You can go ahead and greet your neighbor right now.
Good morning. From the smartest, best-looking pastor. He didn't. Just teasing. It is good to see everyone today. Thank you for being here. And we do want to take a moment and welcome those that might be visiting for the first time today. If that's you, we are thrilled that you are here. And we would like to ask if you would just take a moment to fill out the Connect card that's on the back of the seat that's directly in front of you, and then swing that by our Welcome Center in the lobby right after service so that we can meet you, get to know you, and because we want to get you to come back and become part of our church family. So God bless you. Thank you for being here. And I think we want to continue to, I was thinking out loud there. So let me say that. We want to continue to thank you for your faithfulness and your giving to the Lord through our church. And you can continue to give either online or by visiting the drop boxes, that's located at the back of the sanctuary today. And that's it in the way of announcement. So you've been seated long enough. We don't want you to go to sleep, or at least wait to go to sleep. Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, we have an announcement up here that I don't know anything about, so let's work through this together, okay? If you will look at the overhead today, we want to make sure to remind you of the First Women's upcoming event called Bloom, and that's going to take place on April the 27th, which is a Saturday, I'm guessing, and this Saturday. And that's going to be from 8 a.m. to noon. You can scan the little QR code there to get more information. And if you do have any other questions about that, get with the best looking pastor on staff, my wife, and she can get you more information about that. So now that I've made a train wreck of these announcements today, would you please stand with me? And let's go to the Lord in worship again. Help me out.
Yeah. Somebody said hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this morning, everybody. What a privilege to lean upon Jesus and his everlasting arms. My mom's favorite scripture from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And what a joy to lean on Jesus today. Thank you, Heidi, and worship team this morning, and thank you, everybody, for being in the house of the Lord together today. We're looking this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 as we go to the Word of God together. And what beautiful weather has returned to us. And would you pray that the Lord would just bring us a really cool summer? Would you pray? How about 55 degrees all summer? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? So wonderful. Pastor Ryan and the children had an overnight camp out schedule for this past Friday night. And Ryan said, well, we're going to have to change the camp out to a bonfire because it's going to be too cool overnight. I just thought those children need to get used to being cool and to enjoying the cool weather. And so we're so grateful today for the cool of the Lord. You know, do you remember? I hate to bear down on this morning, but do you remember that even in the Garden of Eden, God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day? Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Yes. Well, this past week, we celebrated the lives of two of our family members. Janice Cruz sent her dad home to be with the Lord this week, Don Cruz. That service was Wednesday down at Freeman Mortuary, and we rejoiced in his homegoing. I see Sam Radel is here today, and we celebrated the lives of his mom and dad who died just in close proximity to each other this past Friday afternoon down at Freeman, and a great crowd and a great celebration of life. And we're so grateful today for the promise of heaven and eternal life. Could you say amen? Amen. And as we think about our loved ones who've gone on before us to heaven, we just have, in our hearts, we feel the peace of God, and we just have to declare all is well when you know Jesus. Isn't that right? All is well here as we trust in Jesus and lean upon his everlasting arms. And even when we depart from this life, we're so grateful for the promise of heaven that in a heartbeat, in a moment, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, one breath to the next, when we leave this world as Christian believers, we step into the presence of the Lord Jesus, and such a comfort and such a peace that brings. Sam, we love you and your family. We pray God would continue to supply everything you need during this season of time. We'll say that to Janice in the second service as well today. This morning we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 for a very familiar passage of scripture as we continue our series on prevailing prayer. This passage of scripture is sort of like a shotgun passage. I like these kinds of passages from the Apostle Paul, where he just throws out one bullet after another, after another, after another. Sometimes we have to work to connect those bullets. Sometimes Paul is simply in a concluding passage of scripture throwing out individual instructions. I believe all of these are connected today as we think about one central instruction in the middle of this passage about praying continually. Look to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And we read these words. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And everybody said amen. Amen. This morning we continue with lesson number 5 in our series about prevailing prayer. We've been talking about prayer that is especially effective and powerful. How many of you in the house today have ever prayed to God? Yeah, of course we have. And if we're going to be people of prayer, we need to pray the Bible way. Would you say amen? And the Bible teaches us so many important principles about how to pray effectively and powerfully. We've talked about several of those principles in this series. We've talked about praying prayers of surrender to the Lord, giving ourselves to the Lord, offering our lives to the Lord for his service and his purposes. We talked in our second lesson about praying clearly and confidently, being sure that there are no hindrances in the way of our praying so that we can really pray with confidence and faith in the Lord. How many of you know God honors our faith? We talked thirdly about praying thankfully and weaving a spirit of thankfulness and thanksgiving all through our praying, because when we pray thankfully, it encourages, first of all, it's right to do so, but also it encourages our faith to remember the good things the Lord has done. Amen. Last Sunday morning, we talked about praying with partners, praying for one another as believers and praying with one another as believers, and the importance of praying in agreement. This morning, we bring to you a word from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 about praying continually. I've entitled this message, Pray All Day Long, All Day Long. Now, if you grew up in an old church that used the King James Version of the Bible, you know this passage of scripture, this instruction, is worded like this: pray without ceasing. I used to think as a kid, how in the world could anybody pray without ceasing? It seems like an impossible task. After all, we have to eat sometime. Huh? We have to go to school, we have to go to work, we have to focus on things. How can anybody pray without ceasing? But I believe that we can be in an attitude and an atmosphere of connection with the Lord at all times and in every way. And all through the day, though, yes, we have to focus on particular things. Yes, we have to accomplish the routine, random things this world has for us. But we can stay in touch and in tune with the Lord all day long. That's what I want to talk about for a little while this morning. We'll break it up into two categories today. First, we're going to talk about staying in tune with God all day long. Staying in tune with God, keeping things clear, making sure there are no hindrances, being in a position where we are right there in the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, but when I need the Lord, I don't want to have to holler real loudly. Are you here? Sometimes we can't holler loudly enough to reach all the way out to God from whom we've kept our distance. Right? I say that a little facetiously, but the reality is, if we're going to pray effectively, it'll be good for us to stay close to the Lord all day, every day, in our minds and our practices. And so let's think about what it looks like in this passage of scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5 to pray all day long and to stay in tune with God all day. First of all, that involves keeping our personal relationships straight. The scriptures are very clear, and we've dealt with this in this very series of messages. that if our relationships with people are not right, that messes up our relationship with God. We've got to be right with people as we interact with God. And things have to be right. We reminded you on one occasion in this series that if we have aught against our brother, we ought to correct that before we even finish our praying, so that our praying, our giving of offerings to the Lord will not be hindered. So we've got to keep our personal relationships right to stay in tune with God. What does that look like in this passage? Well, first of all, it involves, and I love bringing this point to you today, it involves employing proper respect for the pastors. Let's look at what the scripture says here. Paul writes in verse number 12, "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work." Paul says, treat spiritual leadership properly and respectfully. Now, whenever I take a moment to look at one of these kinds of passages, even all the way back to examining the Ten Commandment that says, honor your father and your mother, when I take a look at one of these charges, I'm always reminded, and I always try to remind people, that parents are intended to be honorable. Can I have a better amen? Amen? When we hear the command that says, honor your father and your father and mother have a responsibility to be honorable. Now, could I have a good amen? Amen? Let that sink in for a moment. You know what I'm talking about. And in the same way that that is true, when Paul the Apostle says, we ask you to respect the leaders in the church, then Paul is assuming here that the leaders in the church are going to be respectable. Could you say amen? This is not some blanket rule to treat, you know, a pastor of a church with respect if he's not respectable. This is not a permission for a spiritual leader to do anything and be anything and still demand the respect from God's people. That's not what this is about. This is an assumption that the leaders are respectable. So, you know who has the greater responsibility in this passage of scripture? It's not you, it's me. And boy, you know who has the greatest challenge in this passage of scripture? It's Pastor Bob. Maintaining respectability is very difficult for Pastor Bob. I have tried to urge him toward that through the years. But the point here, Paul is writing to a church body at Thessalonica, and he says your relationships include relationships with your spiritual leaders. Those relationships should be clean and clear. The second part of that is that we ought to enjoy peaceful, patient, positive relationships with people. And here it is in verse number 13, live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. So in our relationships with other people, we're called to build strong, healthy, peaceful relationships with other people. How many of you know, as believers, we are not called to be fighters all the time? We're called to enjoy right relationships with people. And staying in tune with God all day is going to be marked by staying in proper relationships with people throughout the day as well. Keep your personal relationships straight. The second part of staying in tune with God all day here in 1 Thessalonians 5 involves keeping our practical routines steady. And that includes a variety of principles here. What kind of people are we to be throughout the day, every day, as the people of God, as children of God? Well, we're called to be rejoicing regularly. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, be joyful always. That's a common command from the Apostle Paul in his letters. Paul himself dealt with great struggles, great difficulties in his ministry and in the Christian life. Paul faced all kinds of persecution and struggles. Paul faced a thorn in the flesh. We don't even know what that is. Paul was in prison on a variety of occasions. He went through hunger and thirst and was out in the water floating around on multiple occasions. Paul dealt with great struggles, and yet as he writes his letters to the churches, he includes this instruction regularly: be joyful believers. Stir up the joy of the Lord and insist on being positive and happy in Jesus. Be joyful always. I believe joy in the Lord is something worth fighting for. If you're sad all the time and you're down all the time and you just can't seem to see anything positive, I think it's time to turn your attention in a new direction and to stir up the joy of the Lord that God has for you. Joy is a promised Christian commodity. And listen, the joy of the Lord, said the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Have you ever known a gloomy Christian? I have. Have you ever known a real joyful Christian? Which one is the best kind of worker for Jesus? Huh? Which one of those is the best witness for Jesus? The joyful Christian, of course. So when Paul says, rejoice regularly, He's urging upon us a very powerful discipline in the Christian life. We need to stir ourselves up in the goodness of God, in the grace of God, with thanksgiving, and begin to rejoice in the good things of the Lord. Rejoice regularly. As we think about our practical routines, it also involves thanking throughout every situation. This is where we find verse number 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, are you listening today? We're thinking about a daily routine that is to mark every day here. That's our point in this message, okay? Every day, we're practicing rejoicing in the Lord. Now, every day, we're thanking the Lord throughout the day in every circumstance, every situation. Throughout the day, when something positive happens, we're thanking the Lord. You know, I've learned that you can thank the Lord in any and every circumstance as you just determine to do that and to be thankful. Do you know, look at me, everybody. Do you know I thank the Lord when I find a good parking place? And on some occasions, I thank the Lord when I find any parking place. Okay? I thank the Lord when I get something good to eat. Don't you? In fact, I thank the Lord before I eat and after I eat. I thank the Lord for all kinds of things. We can thank the Lord in every circumstance, in any circumstance. Now, this is sort of a rubber meets the road illustration. But this sort of illustrates just how far you can go with this. Has anybody ever been driving on a trip on the highway and you just had to go right now? Anybody know what that's like? Finally, you found a place to pull over and stop. Can I tell you that when I find a place, I say, thank you, Lord, for it. I do. I say, thank you, Lord, for getting me here on time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Thank you, Lord, for getting me here on time. Well, let me ask you this. When you had to go right now, and you got there on time, weren't you glad that you got there? So, that is a crazy example. I know. Forgive me. That is my personal testimony. But the point is, there are all kinds of little details all through every day which deserve a thank you from the Lord. Thank you, Lord. When a meeting goes well, thank you, Lord, for helping me in that meeting. When you had to accomplish something and you got through it, thank you, Lord, for getting me through that. You know what I'm talking about? Give thanks in every circumstance. Now the day might be filled with trouble, but even in a trouble-filled day, if God gets you through one thing after another, then you can thank the Lord for his steady provision. Even though, you know, things may not have gone the way you wanted, thank the Lord. And there have been many times, I know that this is sort of confession time this morning, there are many times when I say to the Lord, when I maybe have asked for one thing and did not receive that one thing, I have said something like this to the Lord. Well, thank you, Lord, that at least it wasn't that. You know what I'm talking about? So maybe I ask, well, I don't really do. Maybe I asked the Lord for a parking place in the front row, and I had to go to the third row. Then I might would say something. I don't know that I've ever actually done that. But it would be like saying, well, thank you, Lord, that at least I didn't have to park in the eighth row. Okay, does that make sense? Now, what I'm saying here is just that there ought to be a regular communication of thanks to the Lord all through the day. Give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances. And can I tell you, that is a good way to maintain an awareness and a consciousness of the presence of the Lord and the closeness of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord all day, every day, as we practice thanking him again and again for all kinds of things throughout the day. They don't even have to be shouts or public testimonies, just a whispering under your breath. In fact, some of those illustrations I've told you, I don't thank the Lord publicly for that. I just whisper it under my breath. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thanks for helping me. So as we keep these practical routines steady, we rejoice regularly, we thank throughout. And also, Paul says here in this passage that we are to stay sensitive to the Spirit throughout the day. Verse 19 says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything and hold on to the good. So in this troubled world, we need lots of guidance, lots of direction, lots of protection from the Holy Spirit as we maneuver through situations, and we need to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, help me throughout this day. I trust in you. I draw close to you. I depend upon your leading and your guidance every day. Notice these are all habits that help us maintain a close connection and to stay in tune with the Lord throughout the day, all day long. Stay in tune with God all day. Rejoice regularly, thank throughout, stay sensitive to the Spirit. The fourth word is be blameless in your behavior. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, avoid every kind of evil as you go through the day. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So as we stay in tune with the Lord all day, that means practicing obedience, keeping ourselves right before God, right? Avoiding things that are inappropriate and that are evil and that perhaps would open up doors that we don't want to have opened in our spiritual lives. Staying on track, staying in tune with the Lord, keeping ourselves above board, right? Maintaining our integrity, maintaining our honesty, maintaining our commitment to holiness before the Lord, and living throughout the day understanding and being aware that there are many opportunities to mess up and to step in things that we should not be stepping in. But as Christian believers, we can steer clear of those things with the help of the Lord, and we can maintain blameless behavior before the Lord. These are parts of the everyday Christian life. Look at me, everybody, and listen to me. Living for Jesus does not just involve Sunday morning church. It involves every day, all day long, from start to finish. So keeping your practical routine steady involves all of those things, and then we come down to really the primary focus for today, and that is the charge to pray persistently. Verse 17, pray continually. Keep on praying all day, every day. Maintain an attitude of prayer. That doesn't mean you have to, you know, wear a prayer shawl every day. It, you know, it doesn't mean you have to keep your head bowed all the time. But you can pray throughout the day, all day, every day. And that's what we want to talk about in our second section of the message this morning. As we stay in tune with God all day, we can stay in touch with God all day. So let's think about ways in which we can pray all day long. Okay, are you ready? Is everybody still awake? How can we pray all day long? Well, first of all, we ought to pray in our room for the day. Now, this is what Jesus says. His instruction, go in your room and close the door. Here it is in Matthew 6, verse 6. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This is the foundational beginning. Every Christian believer ought to have a prayer time. A time that is set apart. You say, how long should that be? That's between you and the Lord. Say, what room of the house should it be in? That's between you and your family. Okay? But every Christian believer needs an established time. Okay? It may differ on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from what it looks like on Saturday, Sunday because your schedule is different. Okay? But every believer needs an established prayer time, a structured time where you can get with the Lord by yourself and spend time in the presence of the Lord and pray about things and talk to the Lord and give thanks to the Lord, and a structured time that is as much as possible uninterrupted. And Jesus says, private, between you and the Lord. Look at the ingredients in that. Go to your room, close the door, pray to your Father. Your Father sees what is done in secret. So every believer needs a prayer time. And I believe it ought to be at least substantial enough for you to sense the presence of the Lord there in your midst. So if you don't have a prayer time in the house today, I urge you, I encourage you to start today or tomorrow and establish a prayer time that will be sort of a foundation for the rest of it. So as we pray in the room for the day, we close the door and that can commence the day. Now you say, well, my prayer time is at night. Well, you can do both if you want. But I heard one preacher say one time, and I believe this personally for me. I don't want to be legalistic, but for me, this is accurate. You will either prepare the day with prayer, or you will have to repair the day with prayer. Think about that. So you can either wait till the end of the day and sort of try to make up for everything that's happened, or you can start the day by getting a boost in the presence of the Lord. I think there's a lot of illustration in the scriptures about praying in the morning and giving the day to the Lord. I think that's a good idea. I'm not going to be legalistic about that, but I think that's a good idea. And that allows us to commence the day with prayer. Listen to Psalm 5, verse 3. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Psalm 59, I will sing of your strength. In the morning, I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. And Mark 1, verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Let me ask you a question. Is everybody awake today? Let me ask you a question. Why did Jesus do that very early in the morning? To avoid all the distractions that were constantly coming at him. He wanted some private time with the Lord. He could hardly find that in his ministry. The crowds were always pressing upon him and finding out. Listen, if any human being was ever stalked in life, Jesus was stalked regularly. They found him. But Jesus, the Bible says, often withdrew to solitary places and prayed. And so Jesus himself practiced that, and here we see him practicing that in the morning. When we pray in the room, we close the door, we commence the day, and we commit to the daily discipline of that. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And I love this verse about Daniel in Daniel 6, verse 10. Daniel was a great government leader. Now think about this. Daniel was a strong government official in a heathen kingdom. But even in that place, and may we say, especially in that place, he recognized the need to stay close to God in prayer. And listen to what the scripture says in Daniel 16. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published that says you can't pray anymore, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Now, notice this with me today. Daniel did not allow things to disrupt his daily prayer times. Are you here? This is very practical today, but we need to hear it. Daniel refused to allow all kinds of things to disrupt his daily prayer times. And he prayed three times a day on a regular basis. And even when the government said, you can't pray, he said, forget you. He didn't say that, but he just marched right up to his upstairs room, opened the windows, prayed right in front of people who were spying on him, and said, nothing is going to hinder me from keeping my regular prayer time. Why? Because he knew he needed the strength and the help of God. And let me say, if Daniel needed the help of God, don't you think we do? Yeah. So pray in your room for the day and commit to that regular discipline. And then as you establish that as a foundation, you can pray for the rest of your day. Throughout the day, maintain an attitude of prayer. Three simple thoughts here, and then we'll close. First, as we march through any day, live through any day, we can whisper requests to God. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. Nehemiah is the cupbearer to the king, and he's got an important role, and he hears a report that the walls of Jerusalem have fallen down, and he's real troubled by that. And he goes in to take the king's cup to the king, and the king says, well, Nehemiah, what's wrong with you today? Your face is all downcast. And Nehemiah had to answer the king. And when he was posed with that question, Nehemiah had to come up with an answer quickly. How many of you know sometimes we're put on the spot for something? And we need the help of the Lord right now. Help me right now, Lord. Listen to this. The king said to me, what is it you want? Nehemiah said, then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king. Now, I think about that story and I think about the interaction taking place like this. The king says, what do you want? Well, he's standing, how many of you know he can't hesitate too long? He's got to answer the king, what do you want? And Nehemiah says, I prayed and then I answered the king. That had to be a quick prayer. Ooh, help me, Lord. That might have been the totality of Nehemiah's prayer. Help me right now, Lord. Have you ever prayed like that? I have. And we can whisper requests all day long to the Lord, even in the middle of other situations. You can pray throughout the day at work. When you're faced with challenges in your family, in your home, in your workplace, at school, you can ask the Lord for help right in the midst of that. Listen, a Christian believer is always in the presence of Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit. As we stay close to the Lord, we're always in that presence of Jesus. We can talk to the Lord all day long, whispering requests to the Lord, talking to Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thanks for that, Lord. And you know, you don't have to go around looking like a kook by looking like you're talking to yourself all the time. You can be discreet about it, you know. You can, and at times you can just say, thank you, Lord, right out loud as a testimony to those around you that you're trusting the Lord and you're thankful to the Lord. You'll know how to handle those things, but the point is we just stay in that communication with the Lord all day long, whispering requests to him. The second way to pray for the rest of the day is to watch for windows and retreats. Here it is from Luke 5:16. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And we see it in Isaiah chapter 38 on one occasion when Hezekiah was confronted with bad news. The scripture says Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. So sometimes throughout the day, even though you've had your prayer time, you might step aside into some place and pray for 10 minutes about something. Windows and retreats. We can step apart and pray for a little bit. If you're doing something important, it would be good to maybe close your office door and pray, Lord, help me with this. Lord, I'm about to have a very important meeting, and I want to spend a little bit of time right now asking for your favor, your blessing, your protection, your guidance. And you may just take a little window aside to do that and spend time calling upon the Lord in the middle of the day. I'll tell you, our communication with the Lord is so important. How many of you understand that God is the one who gives us the strength and the wisdom and the ability to do anything and everything good? And we need his constant supply. And so we come to him regularly and call upon him. Whisper requests, watch for windows and retreats to take some time aside to pray. And throughout the day, we ought to worship relentlessly. And just stay in an attitude of praise and worship. Ephesians 5:19 says, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're worshiping throughout the day. Psalm 35, my tongue will speak of your righteousness and of your praises. When? All day long. All day. Look up at me, everybody. Look up at me. Don't flood your mind with all kinds of things through the day that would distract you from worshiping. But fill your mind all day long with things that will increase your worship to the Lord. Isn't that right? If you're going to listen to music, don't bother listening to music that's going to be distracting. You know, you can eat crackers in my bed anytime. How many of you know a lot of people listen to the music of the world? And the way I know that is from a TV commercial. That song is from like 1922 or something. Nowadays, the music is a lot worse that many younger people listen to. Don't listen to things that would distract you from the presence of the Lord and from worshiping the Lord. Could I have an amen? But flood your life with things that will encourage you. If you're going to listen to things like that, listen to worship music. Get rid of the evil stuff and get the good stuff in your life. Amen? Get a song in your heart that's going to draw you close to the Lord, not take you further away from the Lord. And worship the Lord all day long. Psalm 119:164 says this, 7 times a day. I praise you for your righteous laws. Years ago, I had read that verse of scripture in a sermon, and one of our classes took it upon themselves to structure their day for like the next month or whatever to include 7 specific times of stopping during the day to give praise and thanks to the Lord. I don't know whether you want to structure it or not, but when we look at the previous verse from Psalm 35 that says, I'll sing your praises all day long, and then we look at this one, 7 times a day I'll praise you, I think you get the point that our days ought to be flooded with worship to the Lord. Could I have an amen? Amen. So that we are staying in tune with God all day and staying in touch with God all day. And as we pray continually, we'll be reminded all day, every day, of the presence and the power of God in which we're living and that is working in our lives. And we will learn to depend upon those things more than ever before. One thing I want to be careful about in my own life, I don't ever want to depend on my own strength. Because when I do that, I will surely fall. I need the Lord's strength. I need his wisdom. I need his guidance and direction. Amen. I need the Lord to be the one who opens doors before me of opportunity. I need the Lord to order my steps. Yes. I need the, listen, we desperately need the Lord's involvement in our lives all day long, every day. Right? Come to church on Sunday, but the devil might have a really wicked plan for your life on Tuesday afternoon. Are you here? So we need the Lord all day, every day. And as we give ourselves to praying continually, being people of God all day long, our lives will be changed. God will use us, and we will be blessed in the presence of the Lord. Amen and amen.